Well, welcome, dear ones. Praise God that He's brought us safely back to another Wednesday evening meeting. And pray that the Lord has been with you and has led and guided you in the first part of this week, has blessed you. And we pray for His continued blessings upon us tonight and throughout the rest of this remaining week. I want to welcome those that are on the phone and those that will be listening to this afterwards. And I praise God that we're able to join back together once again. Our opening song is entitled Revive Us Again. And the link is lightministries.com/ID1922.htm. Revive Us Again.
Good evening and God bless everyone. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for Thy Spirit of life, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who hath borne all our sins and hath cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the God of all grace, who has brought us and sought us and guided our ways. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with Thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again.
Amen. And thank you, brother. Let us please bow our heads and kneel as far as we're able for opening prayer to begin this Wednesday evening meeting. Dear precious Father, we invite Your presence to be in our midst. We invite the presence of our dear Savior and the Holy Spirit to be abiding guests in each heart. We give You full and complete control of this meeting, and we pray that we may have the divine enlightenment from above to comprehend and understand the truths that are shared, to be revived from above with the extra grace and the strength to have our spiritual life increased and to remove all coldness and replace it with the love and the warmth from our God. We pray that You'll be with all of our brothers and sisters around the world. Continue to lead and guide them. Continue to protect them. Continue to increase their ability to understand truth and to share it with others. And especially, Father, as Lord of the harvest, please raise up laborers to send into thy harvest field so that a quick work can be done, the seeds can be scattered all over the world, lightening this dark world with the glory of God, with the knowledge of salvation. And let there be a rich and abundant harvest garnered for thy glory and the increasing of thy kingdom. We thank you for already doing so. We claim Habakkuk 2:14, and we claim Zechariah 10:1, and we pray for the Holy Spirit to be poured out in rich abundance in both early and latter rain power. Please don't pass us by, but help us to partake deeply and richly and abundantly so that we can indeed be your living witnesses in these last days. And be the means that you can use in bringing many souls from darkness to light, from the devil's kingdom to the kingdom of righteousness, and that we can hasten the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer. Thank you for being with us now. And thank you once again for allowing us to come together in fellowship and in sweet union with other brothers and sisters of like faith. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, again, welcome, and we appreciate you being here. We praise God for continuing to allow us to have this home church gathering to where we can come together, we can uplift the Lord, we can edify and encourage one another to continue bearing the cross on a daily basis and moving forward up that straight and narrow path that ends in eternal life. In the past previous 12, maybe 13 Wednesday evening meetings, we've gone over the arguments that Sunday keepers use to come against the Sabbath, and trying to get people to believe that Saturday has been set aside and Sunday has taken its place in the New Covenant period. Well, now we're going to turn our attention onto a different area. We're going to focus it more on the aspect of witnessing. And so we'll do this for a few Wednesday evening meetings, dealing with the subject of witnessing, how to do it, and encouragement in continuing forward, and spiritual insights on which we can utilize in our own lives in being able to move forward in allowing the Lord to use us for His glory and the spreading of His kingdom and the hastening of our Lord's return, which has long time been delayed. If you're familiar with history, you know that shortly after October 22, 1844, when Christ went from the first apartment into the second apartment of the heavenly sanctuary, after that point in time, there was really no set period of time as to how long the high priest was to do his work within the most holy place. And whenever he got his work finished, then it was done. And there was no set time for him to be there. So Christ entered in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary on October 22, 1844, and we're still here today, and he's still in the most holy place. His work has not yet finished. So why is Christ still there? It's because his people have not made themselves ready. It's also because the truth has not spread to every single corner of this world and reached every single individual in this world. Because we're told in Matthew 24:15, I think it is, that as soon as the truth spreads around the world, then the end comes. So the reasons we're still here is because God's people have not made themselves ready. They're not doing the work that God would have them do, and thus the truth is not spreading around the world, reaching every single individual on the earth, as it should. And that's why we're still here. So then how can we make ourselves ready? And so that's what we're going to be examining for the next several Wednesday evenings. And to help us in this endeavor, let me go ahead and put the link to the quotes I'll be referring to here. The actual link is lightministries.com/SDA/ID1336.htm. And this is pulled from the Spirit of Prophecy. It's a Review and Herald article, September 10, 1895. And this is on the subject of witnesses for Christ. So I'm not sure if we'll be able to get through reading this tonight, as I don't want to spend the entire Wednesday evening dealing with issues of truth, because half the time I want to focus it on dealing with the issues of truth. The other half I want to focus on testimonies, I want to focus on prayers, I want to focus on scripture songs or gospel songs that you want to sing to God, because this is a time in which we get together and encourage one another and to help one another grow in Christ. So, Witnesses for Christ, and this is again Review and Herald, September 10, 1895. We need to watch the signs of the times, for unless we are continually on guard, the enemy will steal a march upon us. There is no need of our being discouraged, for the heart is to be the dwelling place for Jesus. But we are to keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So we're told here that we need to be aware of the signs of the times. We need to know what is taking place around us, because we need to be continually on guard, lest the enemy, which is the devil, steal a march upon us. In other words, barricade our way so that we cannot do the work of God like we should. And the very first sermon that was preached in this home church back on the 1st of December last year was on this topic of the signs of the times. And we went through Matthew 24 and we showed from the current events that were taking place in the world that indeed every single sign that Christ gave in that chapter that pointed to his return has been or is currently being fulfilled, except just one. So indeed, the signs of the times are fulfilling all around us, showing us that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's return to this earth is imminent. It's not just around the corner anymore. It's almost here. And the devil has stolen a march upon a lot of God's people, getting them to believe, well, you know, Christ's coming is decades away. You know, things around us are all right. Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of trouble taking place in the Middle East. And yeah, there's, you know, trouble a little more closer to home in some of the major cities. But where I am, it's, you know, everything's peaceful. Everything's going on like it should. And when individuals come into a situation of peace, they end up going to sleep. They end up laying down their guard, putting off their armor, and that's exactly what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to go back asleep instead of being on fire for the Lord. He wants you to put off the armor so that you really have no protection against his attacks, against the fiery darts that he sends your way in temptations. And he wants to try and discourage you so that you give up the warfare altogether and say, I'm done with it. I'm giving it all up. That's what the devil wants you to do. But the signs of the times show us plainly that the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is at the doors. It's almost here. And Christ is just waiting for his people to make themselves ready so that he can throw down the censer and say, it's done, it's finished. Everyone that's going to follow me has decided, and everyone that's going to reject me has decided. There's no more decisions to make. They've all been made. And he steps out from being an intercessor and a mediator between the Father and sinful fallen humanity. And he comes to get his faithful bride. That's almost here, dear ones. It's time to get ready. And it's time to keep ourselves ready, focused on the goal, which is imaging Christ in our very lives and spreading Christ to the world so that they have a chance to be saved. That's our goal, to be like our Lord Jesus Christ in character and to let our light shine to others so that they can also behold the lovely face of our Redeemer. Continuing to the next paragraph. We have been taken as rough stones out of the quarry of the world by the cleaver of truth and placed in the workshop of God. He who has genuine faith in Christ as his personal Savior will find that the truth accomplishes a definite work for him. His faith is a working faith, and faith works by love and purifies the soul. The Lord Jesus has paid the ransom money for us. He has given his own life in order that those who believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Those who receive the truth by faith will bear testimony to the quality of the faith they exercise. They will continually make improvement, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. We cannot create our faith, but we can be co-laborers with Christ in promoting the growth and triumph of faith. So who plants faith in our hearts? We can't. God can. And as we exercise our faith, God allows it to grow in us. So we can't create faith in our hearts, and we can't make our faith grow, but we can exercise our faith. We can act on the faith that we have, and God will increase it. Just like a muscle, if you never raise your arm, then the muscles that are able to raise your arm become weakened. And pretty soon, they wither away. We have to exercise our muscles in order for them to work. And the more we exercise them, the more it grows. It's the same with faith. We can't create muscle. But we can exercise the muscle that God gave us. And as we exercise it, God allows that muscle to grow, become stronger, able to do more. And it's the same with our faith. Our faith may be weak, but by using what faith we have, no matter how weak it is, in obeying God and doing His will, then God will allow our weak faith to become stronger. So are there any comments or any questions so far? Please go right ahead.
Elder Brother, I have a question about what is the significance of April 4th, 1903? As I understand it from reading from your book, Abomination of Desolation, that was the date that God's providence left the SDA Church. Could you elaborate on that?
Well, dear sister, it's a little bit off topic, but what happened in the April 4, 1901 time period is that was the time of the General Conference that was taking place where delegates from the entire SDA Church around the world would come together and make decisions that affected the worldwide church. And during that particular time, you had a popish control of the General Conference Association that was beginning to control the entire church. And Ellen White stood up under the inspiration of God and said, God wants the General Conference leadership to be removed and replaced with a leadership that's going to govern on a completely different basis. Instead of popery, it was going to be an all ye are brethren type relationship. And that seemed to occur in the 1901 General Conference, but in the 1903 General Conference, or just 2 years later, the leadership voted out the changes that were made in the 1901 General Conference and put in different characteristics that led to the hierarchy or the popish control of all Adventist church members and institutions under the General Conference that we see today in the Adventist church. So 1901 was a pivotal point in which the church could have changed for the better and continued to be used by God. But it decided not to change 2 years later and go right back to the popish control that God said needs to be removed. But we come in the discussion for tonight in dealing with how to be witnesses for Christ. And so I would like to have the attention turned back to that particular issue. So, are there any questions or comments dealing with what we're reading here on being witnesses for Christ?
Elder Brother, I do apologize. I only mention it because you mentioned a delay, and you mentioned the date October 22nd, 1844. But thank you for that.
Yeah, and that is true, sister. When the Adventist Church turned away from God in 1903, God eventually set that church aside and had to choose others to do His work. And that's where we come into the picture today, is God has given us an ability to work for Him, and He's testing us to see how we're going to work for Him, or if we're going to work for Him. He's also testing to see how we're going to organize together, because He does call for us to unite together as one in Christ, an all ye are brethren type platform. But the devil is always active, and the devil is always going to try to get God's people to turn their attention away from Christ, away from an all ye are brethren or equality position, back to a popish position. And sadly, we're seeing that very thing take place among some of the Seventh-day Remnant members. They're taking the lines of control in their own hands, and they're trying to centralize everything underneath their control, and those that will not come under their control, they're pushing aside as being of no account. So we're seeing the very same problems that took place back in the Adventist church taking place now among God's people. But still, God is testing his people to see if they're going to follow him and be true witnesses for him, or if they're going to follow the ways of man. In other words, they haven't learned the lessons from the past, and continue on in a man-controlled bondage. So the issue of being witnesses for Christ comes back up. How are we going to witness for Christ? It is by making sure that Christ dwells within the hope of glory. And if Christ dwells within, we won't be able to keep him hidden. He'll be revealed in what we say and what we do. So all of us have been cut out of the quarry of the world by the cleaver of truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been placed in God's workshop to be cut, squared, and polished for his glory. And if we allow God to work on our characters, to work on our hearts, then all the rough edges, all the sharp edges are going to be cut, chiseled, and refined away. Self is going to be removed. And that's a painful process, but it's necessary, because self will keep us out of heaven. But allowing God to chisel self away from us, and with us working right along with God to crucify self, then we'll become that squared, precisely cut, polished gem that can sparkle brilliantly in reflecting the light of Christ from it out to others in a dazzling of brilliancy. But if self gets in the way, then all that brilliant reflecting of light from Christ is dinged. It's like a gem that has been dragged in the mud. It no longer is able to shine forth light to others. But Christ is trying to take self away from us so that he can be revealed, and he only. So let us allow God to work upon our characters, that we can be co-laborers with Christ in promoting the growth and triumph of our faith. Continuing, the Lord does not desire us to be sad and disconsolate. Jesus says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." So what are we to do with God's love for us? We're to continue in it. We're to believe it. We're to rest in his love. Just as a father doesn't want to see anything bad happen to his children, so on a much greater scale, God does not want anything bad to happen to his children. And just as a father only allows the particular events to occur that can build character in his children, so our Heavenly Father, on a much greater scale, a more tender, loving scale, allows circumstances to occur that can build the character of His children. So whatever God allows to come our way is for a reason, or it would not have happened. He would not have allowed it to happen. And that reason is with the goal of heaven in mind. So we can indeed rest in the love of our Heavenly Father for you and me. Because He would never allow anything to occur to us unless it was for a specific purpose that deals with our salvation. So as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. If we ask Him, the Lord will give us the Holy Spirit to cleanse the habitation of the soul. For every room of the temple of God must be entered and purified. We need to compare our life and character with the great moral standard, the Ten Commandments. We have enlisted in the service of Jesus Christ, and under the banner of the Prince of Life, we are to exercise every spiritual and physical power. So we're to continue in the love of God for us. We're to continue looking up. We're to continue moving forward. We're not to give in to circumstances or situations, however unfavorable they may be, and give up the warfare. We're to continue in God's love for us. We're to continue moving forward in keeping His commandments, that we might continue abiding in His love. And Christ spoke these things to us that His joy in serving God might remain in you and me, so that our joy in serving God might be full. Complete. And if we continue in God's love, and His love in us is full and complete, then this love is going to bubble over to others, so that we will love one another as God has loved us. And the only way that this can become reality in each one of our hearts is if we ask God to give us the Holy Spirit to cleanse the habitation of our souls, to cleanse every room of our heart, of our mind. That's the only way it's going to happen. The Father Himself can't come down to us. We'd be destroyed. Jesus Christ took humanity upon Himself. Thus He's limited in physical form to where He is in presence, which is the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. So the only way that the Father and Jesus can communicate with us is through the Holy Spirit. And if we ask God, He will send the Holy Spirit to us. And this divine God, the Holy Spirit, will work recreating our hearts from the devil's image to the image of our Savior. He'll purify every room of our heart, of our mind, every bit of it. And it will become sanctified and purified, a fit temple for the Godhead to dwell and rule in. That way, when we witness for Jesus, it will have power. It will have effect on hearts because they can see the love in our faces for them. That we really want them to be saved. We don't want them to be lost. We want them to experience the same love of Jesus in our hearts. And they can, if they see a need for it. But if we go to them and preach to them a dry, lifeless sermon, or if we witness to them something that's not a part of our very lives, they're going to detect the hypocrisy. They're going to see that we really don't believe it ourselves, so then why should they believe it? Or they're going to see that we really don't love them. And so why would they want to receive a message from a God of love if his servants aren't showing that love to them? So when we're animated by the Holy Spirit, when God's love is a bubbling over from us, that's when our witnessing to others will have effect. So each and every one of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, have enlisted in the service of Christ, and we stand under the banner of the Prince of Life, Prince Emmanuel, God with us. And as we're enlisted in his service and we stand underneath his banner, then we are to use every spiritual and physical power that God has given us for his glory and not for our own glory. Are there any questions or comments, dear ones? And I think we'll go ahead and stop here at this, at the end of the third paragraph here, and next Wednesday we'll take up the remaining part. But are there any questions or comments? Please go right ahead.
I just want to add to what you're saying, dear brother, in that in this particular warfare, that in truth I have to say that we have the privilege, we have very high honor of being able to even be involved in, no matter how difficult it may be at times. We have to really, I guess I have to say that, you know, I speak to myself first. The witness is always the Holy Spirit. And we have to, I believe, make sure that we are just the vessel. And I believe that that's really, and I know I don't get it all right, but I believe that that's really what we are called to be, as vessels of the Lord God, of the Holy Spirit, carrying Christ. And there is a scripture that speaks of us being vessels with the name holiness unto the Lord. And I really believe that for anyone to truly be able to see Jesus Christ, we can't be there. I don't know if it can be understood what I mean by that, but the we can't be there. It can only be Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is the only one that can truly make sure that he is the one that's going to be greeting whoever needs to meet him. We just have to carry him. We have to be filled with his love, with the Holy Spirit, carrying his word, bearing the precious seed. It's a war with this self thing, and it's a war with these fallen angels. It's a war with these social things, issues going on. It's a warfare on so many different levels, and unfortunately, I speak to myself first. Can get caught up and distracted, and the distraction can lead to discouragement and cause us to really take our eyes off of the Lord, and we see the waves. That's not good. We really have to keep our eyes on Jesus. Because while we're looking at the waves, others are looking at us. So we have to really be mindful of all these things. I'm sorry I don't stand as strong as I need to. So I really ask you all for forgiveness for not standing as strong as I should and wavering. So just keep me in prayer, because I'm really wrestling and I really need the prayer.
Amen, dear brother. And you're freely forgiven. It's a privilege to come together with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And that privilege also brings in the honor of uplifting one another and bringing them up more closer to Christ, to encourage them to move forward. And one of our jobs in being connected with Christ as his missionaries or his witnesses is to remove the stones of stumbling and the rocks of offense to the gospel that prevents us from moving forward. And may we continue to help one another and to edify one another and to remove the stones of stumbling from our paths, so that we can continue to grow closer to one another in Christ, because we see in each other a precious soul that Christ died for. So if we look at another individual and see a precious soul that Christ died for, then we want to help them because our Savior died for them. And they in turn look at us and see a precious soul that Christ died for. And in turn, they want to help us because their Savior died for that person, for us. So as we keep Christ in our picture, if we look up to Christ and not down on self, then we will work for each other in bringing each other closer to imaging Christ in character, to becoming more fully connected with the Savior. And it is a learning experience.
Good evening, all. I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who has been keeping me and the family vaccines and prayer for, you know, all the loss. I must say that even though we are going through a time of despair, that the Lord is still so merciful. And now that I look back, God is just so perfect in everything that he does. I remember a couple years ago, I was just outside. I was going to church on Sundays, or wasn't even going to church for a period of time. But the Lord called me, and my spirit cried out to him, and I have been his ever since then. And I have no regrets about that. I just, looking back on everything that I have been going through, people tell me every day, you know, you're so strong, and I have to tell them that it's not my strength, it's the Lord's strength. He already looked beyond and saw all my needs, and He prepared me. The little truth that I have, the little faith that I'm working on, has brought me so far and has been giving me such comfort that I could just, every time that I stop to weep, I start singing a hymn, a psalm of praise, and just giving God thanks for just delivering me. He already knew all that I was going to go through, all that I have endured, and all that I have to do, and the work that I have to do. But the Lord is so merciful that He set me up in a way that I'm receiving the truth, I am around people who are uplifting me, who are praying for me, who are just keeping me in his path. So I just want to say thank you to everyone. And just, I can't praise God enough. I can't thank God enough for just giving me the strength to pull through. It's simply amazing. It's simply amazing just how wonderful He is. And just once again, thank you to all.
You're very welcome, sister. And praise God that He's allowed us to all come together for such a time as this. And you're correct. When you look back and see how God has led in just these last, you know, few months, it is humbling to realize what the Lord is doing for each one of us. And to His glory, individuals are growing more and more in Christ, more and more in understanding the truth. And that is only because the Spirit is working more and more upon their hearts. And it is a glory to behold. And it's humbling to recognize that God cares for each one of us to work in our lives, to reveal His love for us, and to let us know that as we're in His workshop, and as our rough, unfinished, stony character is being chiseled, God lets us know that as another thing is being chiseled off, we're just becoming that much more precious, that much more lovely, that much more an effective servant of His. And I wish human language had so many more descriptive words to bring out the gratitude that we have to God, that I have to God, for His merciful kindness, for His tender love and mercy on me. As wretched and miserable a sinner I am, God has had mercy upon me and has led me step by step to where I am right now. And He will continue to lead me as long as I keep my eyes fixed on Jesus and am humbly obeying His will. And then I don't have to worry about all that's taking place around me, because I have the internal peace of what Christ is doing in me for His glory. So let the world crumble all around me. Let my friends, let my neighbors, let my brothers and sisters in the faith come against me as hard as they want to do. And yet I know God is in control, that all of this is serving a purpose for His glory, for the spreading of His kingdom, for precious souls to be garnered. Because the devil never attacks you in a vicious way unless he sees you're hurting him in a way that he's going to lose souls to his enemy, which is Christ. So then the more the devil roars, the harder you need to continue working for God, because what you're doing is effective, or the devil wouldn't be attacking you like he is. So as God is in control, then there's nothing we need to fear. There's nothing we need to be concerned about, except making sure that self is hid in Christ and only Christ is revealed instead. Making sure the mud doesn't cover up the reflecting of the light of Christ from your life, from your heart. Keeping self, keeping that mud away is what we need to be concerned with. Allowing Christ to live in us is what we need to do. Are there any other thoughts or any other comments or testimonies? Please feel free, dear ones.
Okay, I have a testimony. I hope it's not long, but I think it's very important. For the past couple of months, every time I find myself telling my son, can you pick up your leg every time you walk? You can see him just dragging. And I used to tell him, can you just pick up your feet when you're walking? And I guess at the time I didn't know how important it was, because this past Saturday I had an experience. I had to go and do something, and the individual had gave me a little money to put it in my pocket, but I didn't know that prior they had invited me to go and experience knowledge of what happened to the slaves here in Ohio while they were passing to go towards Canada for freedom. And she actually took part of it, so she was asking me if I would like to go, because it's part of the curriculum of the students to be able to know what happened to them. Well, I didn't have any money to go. So then I said, Lord, if you want me to go, you provide. It wasn't that much. It was only like $5 for one person. And it was like after, like about 8 o'clock Saturday night. So in the week I was actually praying, I was saying, well, Lord, if you want me to go, because some of the curriculums and the books and the stories that have been read in the past, you know, there was a book that my son was reading at the time about a little child and how he survived trying to be able to find his family. So I left it in God's hands, and a Thursday when I went over there, I was doing something for one of the sisters, and she put the same amount of money inside of my pocket. So I said, okay. So I didn't know what it was for, and then I said, well, I guess we can go to the store and basically just buy something for us, and the store was closed. When we came back, I started to remember. I said, oh my goodness, the Lord just gave me the money to go. But then I called her and said, you know something, the money that I gave you back, can you please just take it just to pay for the ticket? So when we get there, we didn't know that we were going to actually be part of the experience. She was explaining to us that from here on, when we go into the area where the actual slaves used to tread, they say that we're going back in time, like in the 1800s in Kentucky. And they were saying that we were going to either be played like as the slaves to be sold, or even the buyers of slaves. At that time, she says, well, this is where we start. I'm going to go, and y'all going to walk into that path. And when you go into the path, you're going to see people dressed differently. They're speaking differently. And, oh, by the way, you can't do certain things because that's 1800. So there is another thing. Men and women will be separated. and children according to gender. And then they were telling them how we're supposed to walk and things like that. When I look back at my son's face, I could see the impact that it was going to have on him because of the way how he was separated. He was separated among strangers. And they had like the men's and the boys together, and then they have the women and the little children, like the little girl's children was on one side. So when I looked at him and I saw his face, it became so real to him. And at the same time, I was trying to let him know, this is just an experience. This is not real. But then when I looked at him, I said, you know something? You're going to have to come. So I was telling the person, I'm sorry, I can't keep my son over there. You're going to have to stay with me. And I don't think nobody really said anything, so I kept him with me. And I was trying to say, Joshy, this is not really real. This is just for us to be able to have an experience of what went through with the runaway slaves. They even have historical places here where they actually went into refuge. And even they talk about the family that helped to be able to hide them. There was actual houses that was considered like the conductors where they will go in and put them under the shed. Or there was a group of people that was the actual house that when you look at it, the pictures of the people that was living in that time and actually did the hiding was on the wall, and then there were people playing them. And if you look at the picture, it looks like back in the time where Sister White and all of them used to live, just the clothing and everything, the house, the fence, and you could just, it did something, because at the same time I started to think also about the time of trouble and how if you really don't have Christ and if the Lord is not really with you, how these people really suffer, not only the slaves themselves, but even the ones then that were trying to even help them, and how easily these things then can go back again. And in my mind, I was thinking, oh my goodness, the scripture says that even in the last days, slavery will be back again and all these things. So as we were walking, we had to run. They had sound like dogs behind us, and then they had this man that came and started to tell us how he was going to sell us different places. They had people giving us experience. At the same time, the help message came up in my mind. All of the different things that why the Lord had to prepare the people, not only in a diet. So it became so real. But even though a lot of people was taking it for the experience, I have biblical coming out my head at the same time. Spirit of prophecy was in one side. I could see. I was wondering how come I had to go to this, but here it is that my son was walking, and now he said, Mommy, my feet is hurting me because I could feel all the stone. And I said, Josh, remember when I was trying to tell you to pick up your leg when you walk, and you see now you can't do it. The terrain, it was exactly the same way how it was in the time when they didn't have proper clothing, they didn't have proper shoes. It was just giving you the realness of how, what was really going on in that time. And the only thing I can say for that little experience we had, it was Sheila, myself, Lulu, her two children, and Josh. We were 16 people. Out of 16, only us on the side. And we started to sing, and there was giving us experience like, if you see this person, if he doesn't say he's a friend of a friend, you can't trust them. But if it's a stranger, you have to tell them. If they say where we go, we have to tell them we're going to heaven. And if we tell them we're going to heaven, they will not have any kind of harm towards us. But he will try to be able to sell us and take us to the plantation in the south and things like that. So she kept giving us the experience that whenever it is that the dogs were coming, we had to throw ourselves into the water to take the smell out of the dog. Well, to give the story a short note, sometimes in life when we talk about certain things with our children, we don't really even know why never knowing that the Lord going to use those circumstances for something that eventually will affect them. Because if he would have picked up his feet at the warehouse, I was trying to explain to him that one day these things are going to be able to affect him. He was so injured by the stone and the path and the way how we had to run and the way how everything was so uncertain. The only thing I can say, God in his mercy, I don't know, honestly, if I would have been able to survive in those days. Because just when I saw my son was being poked and separated, I had literally seen in many of the books that I have read and also in the biography about the life of the place, how they were separated and things like that. It is that impact that even though that was just an experience for us to know what they went through, to me it became very real because it made me know that without God, in the heart of man, man is very wicked. If it wasn't for the love of God, I don't know what kind of life man would have. And I thank God for the experience that I had. It made me come out not only appreciative, but wiser to the point where when the Lord was preparing the children of Israel to be able to go into the wilderness, all the time that they were suffering in Egypt, I saw it as a training ground. That they may be able to have a simple way of eating. All of the things that they experienced when they were in the wilderness, the ones then that was really being injured by that experience was the ones then that didn't have no temperance, those that basically didn't have what it was that the children of Israel were suffering during slavery. That when they went into the wilderness, to them it was more freedom than anything. So that experience to me was to let me know that the help message is for a reason. The loneliness, delay, the temperance, all the things that the Lord is teaching us, it is for a reason. It's to prepare us for a time of trouble that we have never seen and will never experience ever again. And I thank God that in His mercy, even in these little things that may seem not so important to others, the Lord is letting us know that we must get ready. Virtually, physically, and mentally, to be able to inhabit the only one that can make us stand in these days. I just wanted to share that.
Well, thank you, dear sister. And it is indeed true. In these last days, we need to have such a faith in and trust in Jesus Christ built in us that we can stand alone, if necessary, for Him. Even if there's not another single person in the world that is standing for God, we need to still stand alone. And what's going to be one of the hardest things is we're going to be separated from our families, from brothers and sisters in the faith. And we're going to have individuals come to us and tell us that our wife or our children or our brothers and sisters in the faith gave up the faith because they recognized that it was not true. And we're the only one out of the group still standing for the faith. And of course, they're not going to call it a faith. They're going to call it fanaticism or separatism, or they're going to call it, you know, what other derogatory name they can think of. When in actuality, our brothers and sisters and perhaps our family members haven't given up the truth. They're still standing faithful, but they're by themselves. They've also been separated away from family relationship and fellowship with others. And they're being told lies that everyone has given it up. So why don't you also give it up? So if we don't have the faith and the trust and the hope built in Jesus Christ before that time comes, then how are we going to be able to stand under that type of testing? that's one reason why God is asking and pleading for his people to come together as true brothers and sisters in Christ, so that we can help one another build up our faith in Christ, to increase our trust in him, to have our hope founded in the soon coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ, so that we can rest in his love and be immovably standing upon the platform of eternal truth, so that we can stand all alone and not give it up. That's why I praise God sometimes several times a day when I think about it, for allowing us to gather together as a church family, as brothers and sisters in Christ, while we still have the freedom to do so, before these troublous times fall on our heads as an overwhelming surprise, because it's coming. We can see a little bit of it here and there, but the devil is starting to roar, and his roar is only going to get louder, and each and every one of us are going to be tested as if there's not another single person standing for the faith that we believe in. And we're going to be told lies. We're going to be told, well, so-and-so, well, he apostatized from the faith. He gave it up. So why don't you give it up? We're going to be tested individually. And we're going to look back and treasure these times in which we were able to gather together as brothers and sisters in equality in Christ. And we're going to have to remember these times, because we have to learn to gather warmth from the coldness of others. We have to learn to gather strength and courage from the cowardice of others. And no matter how many people may apostatize and give up the faith that we believe, it doesn't matter, because our faith is built in Jesus. And so it doesn't matter how many people give it up, because it's still the truth. So we can't trust what people tell us, because they'll lie to us. But God never lies to us. So again, I praise God that we're able to gather together as brothers and sisters in the faith, that we're here to edify and to build up one another, that we're here to help one another and encourage one another and strengthen one another. Because we may soon not have this privilege, but praise God that we have it now. In fact, why don't we bow our heads and thank God for what we have? Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for allowing us to know the truth, allowing us to know part of the plan of salvation, and allowing us to gather together with others of like faith. Father, please help us to grow together as a united body that you are longing for. Please pour upon us thy Holy Spirit, and please, Spirit, continue to work in us, to purify us, to refine us, to sanctify us. Help self to be recognized and put away. Grant us the grace and the strength to do it, and the spiritual enlightenment to see self in all its dark hues, its hideousness. so that it might be willingly put away and not clung to. Father, we want to be a precious gem to shine not our own light, which is actually darkness, but to reflect the light of heaven to others, to reflect the light of Jesus and the truth to all around. Please help us to crucify self every moment of the day and to allow Jesus to live through us. Please draw us closer to Thee, closer to one another. And thank You so much for hearing and answering this prayer and for being with each one of us. Be especially with those who are going through very troublous times. Help them to rest in Your love. Draw especially close to them, comforting them, encouraging them, pointing them upwards, letting them know that everything is okay, that they're being held in Your strong arms, in Your strong hands, and that nothing is going to happen to them that You forbid. And thank You so much, Father, for being so tender-hearted with each one of us. Thank You for hearing and answering this prayer and for being with us now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Dear ones, are there any other questions or comments or testimonies or prayers that you would like to offer to God? Please go right ahead.
I would like to sing this song for my brothers and sisters. When we sought the Lord and heard His precious word, we gave up everything to follow Him. Yes, follow Him. Our prayers is on, our hope in Jesus belongs. Oh, He'll dry your tears away. He'll turn darkness, yes, darkness to day. We gave up everything to follow Him. Yes, follow Him. Amen.
I would like to share a song of faith. Praise the Lord, beautiful. We come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He never failed me yet. Oh, can turn around. We come this far by faith. Come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He never fails us yet. Oh, we can turn around, become the star by faith.
I have a scripture song here. This is Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Dear ones, is there any other testimonies or songs or questions that you have before we close? Please go right ahead.
One more hymn. The hymn is 251, He Lives. I serve our risen Savior, He's singing the world today. I know that He is living, whatever man may say. I see His hands of mercy, I hear His voice assure. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to enjoy. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. Although my heart grows weary, I'll never will despair. I know He is leading through all this stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. No other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Amen, sister. Thank you so much. And thank you also, Sister Wright, for the lovely song. I thank you all for coming this evening and for making this Wednesday evening meeting very enjoyable and pleasurable, and I pray uplifting to your spirits. Please bow your heads and kneel as far as possible for closing prayer. Dear precious Father, we thank you so very much for being here with us. We thank you, Father, for leading and guiding us in truth and allowing us to draw closer together with one another in faith. Father, help us to rest in thy love. Help our faith and hope and trust to be built to such an extent in thee that we would rather die than commit sin, that we would rather die than give up the faith, that we would rather die than give up our Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and King. Thank you so very much for your love and for working in our lives. Please continue to do so until we get to the point that Christ lives through us 100% of all the time of the day, that we might indeed be your witnesses and help to finish the work and hasten your return. Please be with us now as we part. Bring us back together on the Sabbath for another sweet fellowship and communion, and to growing in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for being with us now. In Jesus' precious name and for his sake, amen. Well, dear ones, may God go with you all and bless you and continue to increase your faith until we meet again, is my prayer.